1. A sunrise corona limned one edge of the planet Mirker, setting its vast northern forests alight with a verdant glow. Viewed from space, the planet appeared as lush and green as Yuuzhan'tar, the long-lost homeworld of Yuuzhan Vong legend. 2 Yuuzhan Vong males stood at the viewport of the priest's ship, deep in contemplation of the scene before them. One was tall and gaunt, with a sloping forehead and sharp, aristocratic features, scarred by many acts of devotion. These marks and his cunningly wrapped headcloth identified him as a priest of high rank. His companion was younger, broader, and so physically imposing that a first glance yielded no perceptible boundaries between armor and weapons and the warrior who wore them. He struck the eye in a single blow, leaving an indelible impression of a complex, living weapon. His countenance was somber, and there was an intensity about him that suggested movement, even though he stood at respectful attention. The priest swept a three-fingered hand toward the scene below. "Dawn, bright death of mortal night," he recited. Harar's words followed the well-worn path of proverb, but there was genuine reverence in his eyes as he gazed upon the distant world. The young warrior touched two fingers to his forehead in a pious gesture, but his attention was absorbed less by the glowing vision of Mirker than by the battle raging above it. Silhouetted against the green world was a fist-sized lump of black Yorick coral. This, an aging world ship housing hundreds of Yuuzhan Vong and their slaves and creature servants, looked to be nothing more than lifeless rock. But as Harar's priest ship drew closer, he could make out signs of battle, tiny coral flyers buzzing and stinging like fire gnats, plasma bolts surging in a frantic, erratic pulse. If life was pain, then the world ship was very much alive. "Our arrival is timely," the priest observed, glancing at the young warrior. "These young Jedi seem determined to prove themselves a worthy sacrifice." "As you say, Eminence." The words were polite but distracted, as if the warrior gave scant attention. Harar turned a measuring gaze upon his companion. Discord between the priest and warrior castes was growing more common, but he could discern nothing amiss in Kalila. The son of Warmaster Savongla stood tall among the Yuuzhan Vong. His skin's original gray hue was visible only in the faint strips and whorls, separating numerous black scars and tattoos. A cloak of command flowed from hooks embedded in his shoulders. Other implants added spikes to his elbows and to the knuckles on his hands. A single short, thick horn thrust out from the center of his forehead, a difficult implant and the mark of a truly worthy host. Harar knew himself honored when this promising warrior was assigned to his military escort, but he was also wary and more than a little intrigued. Like any true priest of Yun-Harla, goddess of trickery, Harar relished games of deception and strategy. His old friend Savongla was a master of the multi-layered agenda, and Harar expected nothing less from the young commander. Kali turned to meet the priest's scrutiny. His gaze was respectful but direct. "May I speak freely, Eminence?" Harar began to suspect Savongla's purpose in sending his son to a trickster priest. Candor was a weakness, a potentially fatal one. "In this matter, consider the War Master's judgment," he advised, hiding words of caution and seeming assent. The young male nodded solemnly. "Savongla entrusted you with the sacrifice of the twin Jedi. The success of his latest implant is still in the hands of the gods, and you are his chosen intercessor. What the War Master honors, I reverence." He concluded his words by dropping to one knee and lowering his head in a respectful bow. This was hardly the message Harar intended to send, but Kalila seemed content with their exchange. He rose and directed his attention back to the world ship. In plain speech, then, it appears the battle is not going as well as anticipated. Perhaps not even as well as Numanor reported. Harar's scarred forehead creased in a scowl. He himself held a dubious opinion of the Yuuzhan Vong spy. But Numanor enjoyed the rank of executor and was not to be lightly criticized. Such words veer dangerously close to treason, my young friend. Truth is never treason, Kalila stated. The priest carefully weighed these words. To the priesthood of Yun-Harla, and among certain other factions, this proverb was an ironic jest, but there was no mistaking the ringing sincerity in the younger male's tones. Harar schooled his face to match the warrior's earnest expression. Explain. Kalila pointed to a small, dark shape, hurtling away from the world ship at an oblique vector to the priest ship's approach. That is the Kastar, the frigate that brought Numanor to Mirkur. The priest leaned closer to the viewport, but his eyes were not nearly as keen as Kalila's enhanced implants. He tapped one hand against the portal. In response, a thin membrane nictitated from side to side, cleaning the transparent surface. The living tissue reshaped, exaggerating the convex curve to provide sharper focus and faint magnification. Yes, the priest murmured, noting the distinctive knobs and bumps on the underside of the approaching ship. And if the battle against the Jedi is all but won, as Numanor reported, why does he flee? I must speak to him at once. Kalila turned toward the door and repeated Harar's words as an order. The guards stationed there thumped their fists to opposite shoulders and strode off to tend their commander's bidding. The swift click of chitinous boots announced the subordinate's approach. A female warrior, garishly tattooed in green and yellow, entered the room, a crenellated form cradled in her taloned hands. She bowed, presented the villip to Harar, and placed it on a small stand. The priest dismissed her with an absent wave and began to stroke the sentient globe. The outer layer peeled back, and the soft tissue within began to rearrange itself into a rough semblance of Numanor's scarred visage. One eye socket was empty and sunken, and the bruised eyelid seemed to sag into the blue crescent sac beneath. The venom-spitting Pleiaran bowl that had once distinguished Numanor's countenance was gone, and evidently he had not yet been permitted to replace it. Harar's eyes narrowed in satisfaction. Numanor had failed repeatedly, but never once had he accepted responsibility for his actions. In a manner most unworthy of Yuuzhan Vong, he had foisted blame upon others. Harar had suffered a temporary demotion for his part in a failed espionage scheme. Numanor had merely received a reprimand, even though his agents played a significant role in the plot's failure. In Harar's opinion, the blurred face testified that the god's justice would, in time, be served. The image of Numanor, imprecise though it was, nevertheless managed to convey a sense of impatience, perhaps even anxiety. "Your Eminence," Numanor began. "Your report," Harar broke in curtly. Numanor's one eye narrowed, and for a moment, Harar thought the executor would protest. As a field agent, Numanor was seldom required to answer to the priesthood. His silence stretched beyond the bounds of pride, however, and Harar began to fear that Kalila's suspicions had fallen short of grim truth.
"You have lost."
"We have losses," Numanor corrected. "The Voxen Queen and her spawn were destroyed. Two Jedi prisoners held on the world ship were freed. They escaped, as did several of the others." Harar looked to Kalila.
"You have sighted the infidel's escape ship?"
The warrior's eyes widened, and for a moment his scarred face held horrified enlightenment. a fleeting emotion that swiftly darkened to wrath. "Ask who flies the Kastar, the Executor or the Infidels?" This possibility had not occurred to Harar. He quickly relayed the question through the attuned Villip. "Some of the Jedi managed to commandeer the frigate," Momonor admitted. "We are pursuing, and feel confident that we will add the capture of this ship to our other victories." Capture? Harar's gut tightened, for that single word confirmed the identity of the escaped Jedi. "Capture?" Kalila echoed derisively. "Better to reduce the defiled thing to coral dust. What do you, Jean Vong pilot, would wish to enjoin with an infidel-tainted ship?" "Several Jedi fell to our warriors," Nomanor continued, oblivious to both the priest's epiphany and the warrior's scorn. "The younger Solo brother was slain. The War Master will be pleased to learn that Jason Solo is alive and our captive." "Jason Solo?" Harar repeated. "What of Jaina Solo, his twin?" The silence held for so long that the Villip began to invert back to its original form. "We are in pursuit," Nomanor said at last. "The Jedi will not be able to fly a ship such as the Kastar well or long." "It is an outrage that they fly it at all," Kalila interjected. Harar sent him a stern glance and then turned back to the Villip. "I assume that you will not take this Jason Solo with you as you pursue his twin. It is said that Jedi can communicate with each other over long distances, without either Villips or mechanical abominations to aid them. If this is so, he will surely warn his female counterpart of your approach." Kalila sniffed scornfully. "What manner of hunter hangs bells around the necks of his bishop pack?" This remark, impolitic though it was, surprised a smirk from Harar. In his opinion, Nomanor had become tainted by the infidel's decadence and weakness. The image of the Executor plunging through muck and swamp water on the heels of a pack of fierce lizard hounds was both incongruous and appealing. The Executor took time to consider Harar's observation. "You have a military escort?" 12 coral skippers accompany the priest's ship, yes. Do you wish us to break off in pursuit of Jaina Solo?" The Villip face shape rolled downward and back in a semblance of a nod. "As you rightly observed, the risk of contact between these twin Jedi is considerable. I will take Jason Solo directly to the War Master." "And so the glory goes to the Executor while his failure is thrust upon the priest," Kalila said, snarling. Harar turned away from the Villip. "You are learning," he observed softly. "But for the moment, let us disregard Nomanor's ambitions. You are assigned to accompany me to Mirkur. No more. It is my task to oversee the sacrifice of the twin Jedi. I must pursue. You are not obligated to accompany me." The warrior didn't require time to consider. "This Jedi, this Jaina Solo, flies upon a living vessel. That offends me. She escaped a world ship. That should not have been possible. She is a twin, which is rightly reserved as the province of the gods or a portent of greatness. That is blasphemy. I would pursue her to the most wretched corner of this galaxy if it meant adhering myself to a pair of molting gruchons." "Forcefully argued," Harar said dryly. He turned back to the waiting Executor. "We will retrieve Jaina Solo." "You hesitate. Are you certain you can succeed?" "It is the War Master's command," Harar said simply. He glanced at Kalila and added with a touch of asperity, "And a holy crusade." His sarcasm was lost on Kalila. The warrior inclined his head in grave agreement, and his face shone with something Harar had occasionally glimpsed, but never quite embraced. A sudden chill shuddered down the priest's spine. Fervor such as Kalila's had always struck Harar as vaguely dangerous. The warrior's faith held a shaper's art, imbuing Harar's facetious words with the sly irony the priest had always associated with his goddess. And was it not said that Yun Harla reserved her most cunning tricks for those who served her best?